With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
G'day everyone and welcome to All Talk with Jason Mike. Great to have your company wherever you're joining us. And I tell you what, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to listen to our advice. And I tell you what, Mike Minogue, the questions and the desperation of people to get our advice, it's been absolutely pouring in, mate.
It has, yeah. It's pouring in and it's coming in through all avenues. It's not just over the Insta at All Talk with Jason Mike. It's actually coming in over the email.
Yeah.
alltalkwithjasonmike@gmail.com, which we were bagging and saying, look, if we don't start getting some questions in through this, we're going to delete the account, you know, much like Maggie Tillerson.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, it's a real sign that there's a groundswell of popularity for the kind of advice that we're offering to our listeners, New Zealanders, and people from all around the world.
Absolutely, mate. It's a slow rise and a few people actually going so far as to ask for our qualifications, re-giving out advice. You know, and I think it's fair to let the audience know that we're old school.
Yeah.
You know, we've got no letters by our name. We didn't go to universities. We learnt in the school of life.
I went to a polytech for a couple of months.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
What were you doing there?
Getting on the piss.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I went to university for about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
I just got on the piss.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have qualifications per se, but we do have life experience. And I believe, Mike, that's far more relevant to the listeners out there than, you know, going and studying some psychology or psychiatry course. Yeah, and a hell of a lot cheaper.
Well, that's true. But there might be more value in giving advice if you've got some kind of degree. But neither of us know because neither of us have got one.
Exactly. You know, and let's be honest. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had some great advice given to me in various bars that I was at university.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I could never remember the advice the next day.
No.
And it was interesting that the people that give you advice, they give you the advice, but they would never take the advice themselves. So
yes.
It made you wonder about the value of the advice.
Oh, look, I'm one of those people, I'll be really honest with you. I'm great at giving advice, but I wouldn't take my own advice.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm not one of those people. I'm certainly good at hearing other people and solving their problems.
Yes.
Just not at solving my own.
Yeah, that's right. This is what you need to do, mate. Come on. Just, you know.
You get it together for Christ's sake.
Just divorce her, sell the house and, you know, buy a yacht, sail around the world. Why don't you do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you do that? Fuck, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no way, mate.
No,
you kill me.
Around here. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we asked for people's questions about the Black Clash. There were none. So this Black Clash special will be special in the sense that we won't be talking about the Black Clash.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair enough. I mean, we can't answer questions about the Black Clash, Mike, if we haven't been given questions about the Black Clash.
No, I mean, I thought, you know, we'd get asked questions like, hey, what was it like being flown around in a helicopter on a sightseeing tour piloted by Richie McCaw?
Yeah.
That question never came in.
Oh, so there weren't any questions about Richie either?
No, nothing.
I find that very surprising.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, the public support, the public opinion is turning against Richie somewhat.
Well, you know, this was really interesting because we had the pleasure of meeting the great man himself. And, of course,
Richie McCaw.
And as you know, he's got a huge reputation. Everyone, when they talk about Richie McCaw, go, God, what a great guy.
Yeah.
But we weren't that convinced initially, were we?
Well, no. It's funny, you know, the rumour mill.
Yes.
You know, I had heard that he was something of a dullard.
Right.
That he was a bit of a cardboard cut out of a human being with no real personality.
Okay.
That he was a bore.
Right. Jeez,
you know,
okay.
all this sort of stuff.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, oh, yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, that'd be right. And then we met him, didn't we, Jace?
Well, we did.
And what a human being he was. Charming.
Funny.
Funny. Great looking. Big smile on his face the whole time. Still cut out of granite.
Oh, mate. I wouldn't be surprised at all, and I think you'll agree with me on this. He was so well cut, he could put that 7 jersey on again and just fill in no problems at all.
Without a doubt.
I mean, and he's a very good-looking man, too.
He is.
Can I add to the list that we've just added about how great he is? Humble.
Oh, he was humble.
Very, very humble.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we were asking him about his pilot's license, and he was sort of like, ah, no, I haven't even got one.
Yeah. They just gave it to me because I'm Richie McCaw.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is what I was concerned about, you know, before the flight.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't want you to be that humble. I want you to get your pilot's license.
Yeah.
But then you're in a situation where you don't want to go, oh, Richie, I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to stay on the ground.
You don't want to be that guy, do
you?
No,
no. So I'd rather die.
Yes.
Then offend him.
Yeah, well, look, I'm in the same boat as you on that front. And, you know, and I have to admit that I was pretty alarmed that when the helicopter took off, you found a rotor sitting next to you on the by where you were sitting on the helicopter. And you said to Richie, is this part of the helicopter, mate? And he sort of turned around. He sold it beautifully, didn't he?
He did.
He was like, yeah, it is, actually. That's the back rotor.
Was that in the back seat, is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that should be there. And that was a concern.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I shat my pants nearly when he did that.
Because I thought I could smell something.
Because he was so convincing in the way that he played that.
He was.
But look, absolute legend of a human being. Wonderful guy. Funny, humble.
Hey, and look, if you see Richie in the street, don't be shy. Go up to him. Ask for a selfie. You know, if he wants to chat about me and Jace, you know. Look. You could never be a burden on that guy's time. You know, just invite him out for a drink, all that sort of stuff. He'd love to spend some time with everyday New Zealanders, I'm sure. How did you feel about the helicopter ride itself? Because you're looking a bit green as we got on board.
Look, I'll be honest with you, mate. I have never been a good flyer. Quite genuinely, I was terrified of flying it. And I had a very good mate, a guy by the name of Alan Bro. I don't know if you know Alan Bro. He was a comedian in New Zealand for a long time. He works over in Australia now, lovely guy. And he said to me, Jace, I was the same. I hated flying, and I was in a state of where I would literally have panic attacks all the time while I was in the air, and I was exactly like that myself. And then he said to me, you know what, Jace, one day I just decided I can't be fucked with this. I'm just going to enjoy flying from now on. And he said, ever since then, he's been fine. And I decided
the power of the mind.
The power of the mind, mate. And I just decided one day that's it. I've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to, I'm not going to freak out anymore about flying. I'm just going to enjoy the flight. And I've been way better since then.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, I'm taking a lot of medication before I go on the flight.
Sure.
A lot of sedatives, tramadols, all sorts of
shit. The dribble was just pouring out of you. I mean, I don't think you saw any of the flight.
No, I didn't.
No. And you were sort of
in the helicopter. I'm sorry for grabbing your leg all the time. I know that was disconcerting.
That was the best part.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, okay. No, I like that.
Okay.
You know, I was the same with flying. You know, when you're younger and you've got no fear of dying because you don't think you're going to die, I never had any fear of flying at all. But as you get older and you go, oh, actually, I quite like my life. I don't want to die.
Right.
Then I was finding my anxiety would go up. And so then the way that I got around that eventually was asking myself, what is the worst case scenario?
Yes.
And the worst case scenario is that you're going to crash and die.
Yes.
And it's like, well, if that's as bad as it's going to get, I can live with that. Because we're all going to die at some time, aren't we? And that's, you know, it's quite a good way to go. How many people get to die in a plane crash?
Well, you know, and this is the interesting thing too. I'm the opposite of that.
Right.
In the sense that when I was young, I was constantly terrified I was going to die. And now as I've got older, I care less and less.
Yeah, you're hoping for
it. I'm not concerned at all about the prospect of dying.
No, praying for it.
I just go, you know, if the plane goes down, I can guarantee you I will not be one of the hysterics.
No,
I will be as calm as you like. I'll probably have a little sip of water, chuck a Nicorette in there and chew away and just brace.
Yeah, well, I remember you were on that flight to Christchurch and you looked out the window and the engine was smoking. There was smoke pouring out of one of the engines.
Yeah.
And you were going to mention it, you know, to one of the air stewardesses or stewards or hosts or hostesses. And you thought, no, I'll just let it be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, what can I do about it?
Yeah, what will be will be.
Yes.
And what can they do about it, really?
Yeah.
It's too late. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's
but, no, to be fair, with regards to the helicopter flight, I loved it, mate. Wasn't it? I mean, well, it's spectacular up there, isn't it? I mean, you get into some really weird, odd angles in a helicopter. I found some of those a bit disconcerting.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was fine. I wasn't bothered about the flying at all. And where you're sort of, it's almost like you're being picked up by the scruff of your shirt and you're just being, you know, lifted and carried. It's a very weird thing.
Held over a cliff.
Yeah, well, you can feel that you're being, you know, lifted from above you, which sounds I'd never thought about it before. It was my first time in a helicopter, Jay, so I think you've been in one before. So
yeah.
I was kind of enjoying that, but it didn't feel, you don't feel the propulsion that you feel in a plane. So it didn't feel great. But as long as we stayed level, I was really enjoying it. And then he took us over Hagley Oval and he started banking.
Yeah, that.
And then he goes, we started talking about something else and he goes, oh, it's that thing over there. And he banked heavily so that we could see it. And that, I got a bit quiet.
Yes, you did. You went a bit green there, yeah, and yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, I sort of shut up for a bit.
The thing that I found most disconcerting, because you're right next to the door, and it's all glass.
Yeah.
And I just kept, you know, particularly when you're talking about him banking, you know, I'd be leaning on the door, and I just had visions of the door just popping open and me just, down splattering on Hagley Oval, you know what I mean?
Again, not a bad way to go.
No, well,
because how many fatalities have there been on Hagley Oval? You probably get a stand named after you, or at least a chair.
Yeah, the Jason Hoyt stand.
Or a cubicle in the toilet.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'd take it, mate. But no, it was a thoroughly enjoyable experience, and many thanks to the Christchurch Tourism and Council for organising that
and
for us.
And what an honour overall, commentating the game itself. It was, it was, as you've said, it was a picture there, full house, a lot of people watching at home, some great former athletes, or some former great athletes,
yes,
out on the field. Yeah, mate, I had a bloody good time,
and huge audience on the television, mate.
Huge, over a million.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah,
I mean,
just speaks to what shit there is on TV, doesn't it?
Well, it does, I would note and let the audience know that throughout the day that you were constantly filling me in with regards to audience numbers.
Yeah,
letting me know just how many, and particularly given that our mates across the ditch there were, and you,
Fox Sports,
you were saying that's another 28 mil that'll be tuning in. You know, and this is a little bit of advice if you're going with the broadcasting, you just got to put that out of your mind.
Yeah.
You just got to pretend that you're talking to one person.
That's right.
Who hates your guts. And if you start thinking about, oh my God, 34 million people are tuning into this shit, you're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think. I think we only disgraced ourselves a couple of times, which is better than usual.
Yeah, that's the dilemma, because it's a very different audience, let's be honest about that. And you're constantly in a battle with fighting what's in your head and what you want to say to what you can actually say.
That's right.
And I was constantly, I know that you were very much in that, but I could see the torment in your face.
Well, that's why the pauses were so long, because you're sort of going, the first thing that pops in your head, well, I can't say that.
Yeah, I have
can't,
to...
Oh, no, can't say that.
I have to rephrase this.
Not that one.
Yeah.
And then in the end, we just go to a break. And there were a couple of things, like there were times where I couldn't hear when people were talking in my ears. So I'd start a really fascinating story, and then you'd cut me off, and we'd go straight to an air break. So there was a couple of technical issues.
And there was a bit of drama, too, about my whole tranny conversation, me taking my tranny to the cricket. And I can't see where that came from, to be honest. I mean, I used to take my transistor radio to the cricket. So what? What's drama there?
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, hey, listen, let's crack into the podcast proper, mate. And I believe that we've had a bit of an update with the guy who didn't want to let his girlfriend drive their new car.
That's right. You'll remember a few weeks ago we had a bit of email there from a gentleman who was buying a new car with his partner, and she wanted to be the primary driver on the insurance, which would mean, you would think, that she would then be the one that got to drive the new vehicle and he would be relegated to driving the old shit box.
Yes.
And he was asking us for advice on ways that we could sort of get her to sort of err towards the old shit box rather than the other way around. And we had some good ideas there, like moving the seat back as far as it would possibly go and bolting it. So her legs, you know, we assumed that she'd be shorter, which was probably sexist on your behalf, and just bolting it there. And anyway, he got back to us and he said none of that stuff worked, but he came up with a pretty decent solution in the end. Now when we go out to the car, I make sure I get there first and I head straight for the passenger door. I hold it open and in a fake English accent announce, "Your chariot awakes, m'lady." This makes her giggle, and she immediately takes a seat, allowing me to close the door for her and do a fake bow before heading around to the driver's side, my natural habitat. Why didn't you guys advise me to do this? Love and kisses. And that's from Jordan, again, over the Insta.
Look, all I can do in this situation, Mike, is commend Jordan on his magnificent innovation there, because because it's a double whammy, isn't it?
It is.
Not only is he getting to drive the car, but he's coming across as a gentleman and as a scholar. And
chivalrous.
Chivalrous, and there's a bit of romance there.
Yeah,
isn't
there is. That's
your
right.
Your chariot awaits, my lady.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know, and I have nothing but admiration for Jordan for that.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's very clever.
It is very clever. And what's funny about it is, you know, there's a couple of things that work there. It's sexist. You know,
oh,
that's
yes.
That's probably why we didn't advise him to go down this track, is because if you're opening it, you know, women don't like to have doors open for them anymore.
Mm.
You know, they want you to walk through a door first and close it behind you as quickly as possible so that they can open it themselves. So, you know, it's a bit sexist, but yet in this example, she likes it.
Yes.
So she did, you know, women don't want to be treated any differently unless it means you opening a door for them saying, your chariot awaits, milady.
Yeah.
Allowing them to get in, closing the door behind them, and then, you know, and also paying for their dinner and buying them gifts and stuff. So other than that, they want to be treated exactly the same.
Yes. Well,
When was the last time, Jace, that a woman opened your car door for you?
I don't think that's ever happened, mate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what I like about what's so very clever about it, if, for example, Jordan just went around to the passenger side door and opened the door and didn't say anything, and, you know, the insinuation being, get in the car, I'm going to be the driver. But where he's been very clever is, your chariot awaits, my lady.
Yes.
You know, and that is just a touch of genius as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
it's interesting because, you know, a lot of women would actually take issue with that. Mm. I remember standing up once when I was on the bus and it was absolutely jam-packed with people and there were no seats to be had, and a woman came on the bus and this is absolutely a true story, and I stood up and said, would you like my seat? And she went me, mate. She absolutely went me and said, well, do you not think I'm capable of standing and blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh no, I just thought you might like to. And I was very taken aback because I was taught by my parents, you know, that you stand and offer your seat to people, you know, if there's no seats to be had. And so I was flabbergasted, I think would be the word. And so I sat down and felt very ashamed. And I look back on that and go, that was a bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised the same, but I wouldn't offer it to just any woman.
Right, okay.
You know, she'd have to be pregnant.
Right.
Or hot.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can't remember if this one, particular woman was pregnant or hot. It was just my natural instinct as a young fella to, and she was quite significantly older than me. She would have been in her.
Oh, she was old also.
She wasn't really old. She was mid-30s, maybe getting on to 40.
How old were you?
I was about 17, maybe.
Yeah, no, well, I think.
And I was just respecting my elders as far as I was concerned.
I think you're totally in the right.
Yeah, thanks.
And
mate.
I think that she sounds like maybe she was just having a bad day.
Yeah, well, quite possibly.
You know, and here we are, you were 17, 53 years later.
Yeah.
Still telling that story. And, you know, I hope it's something that she remembers with shame.
Yeah, well, you know, it says everything about.
Because she could have said no thank you.
Yes, that's right.
Just as good.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
And it shows that the impact that she had on me is that, you know, 53 years later, it's still burned into my memory.
Exactly.
You know, even actually talking about it now and bringing it up makes me quite emotional.
See. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it makes you a little bit gun-shy then. Next time you're in a situation like that, then you'd be like, well, you know, she's kind of ruined it, really.
Yes.
For all womankind.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because like 5 years later, there was this really old woman.
Mm.
She was 85. She was clearly struggling for breath. She was had all sorts of shopping with her. She'd been in the rain. She was in a lot of distress. And I went, no, get fucked. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Excuse me, young man, would you? Fuck off.
No fucking way.
Yeah. Not falling for that again.
No way, lady. No way. Hey, but listen, Jordan, big ups to you, my friend. Big ups to you. Well done. And he's my fan of the month.
Oh, What does he get for that?
Look, I'm sure we can find something. We'll just go through our drawers, Mike, and see what we can find.
Yeah.
And maybe if, you know, Captain Nancy gets back to us, we could maybe give him a bit of the.
I'll tell you what, he can have 10% of our 30%.
Yeah, yeah. What, 10%?
Ooh.
Maybe a percent.
Okay, a percent.
I think that's fair enough. But good on you, mate.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
But right now it's time for a bit of...
I think she's cheating on me.
It's Relationship Advice with Jace and Mike.
Hi team. Long-time fan, short-time listener, and love the show. After being married now for 15 years, my wife does not seem to know how to stack the dishwasher. I cannot understand how my wife can be so organized in life, especially if you have kids, yet the dishwasher just seems too hard. She complains that the dishwasher is shit, when in fact it's just the shit way she throws things in it. I then pluck up the courage and restack it, and every time I'm met with a tirade of insults, it seems I cannot win. Is there a way I can get her to change her ways, or am I expected to be verbally abused for the rest of my life? Cheers, guys. Time to go have a dart and ponder my thoughts of the day. Davo over the email.
I mean, there's so many layers to this. This is great relationship chat.
Mm.
And this is something that, I mean, today I had a conversation with my wife about the dishwasher what does and does not go in the dishwasher. Because I've got, I love a dishwasher, and having a young kid, you're constantly doing dishes. And so we actually just got a dishwasher put in. But there's some things that I think go in there and some things don't.
Sure.
And I think you don't put a Teflon frying pan into a dishwasher.
I'd agree with that.
Because all it takes is a wipe. A rinse and a wipe, and it's clean.
Mm.
You put it in the dishwasher, you're breaking down the Teflon, you're going to have to buy a new one. So, and it takes up so much room as well.
Isn't Teflon like massively...
poisonous.
Poisonous?
Yeah.
Because you told me to watch that movie. What was it called? Dark Waters. Yeah.
So it's not good for you.
Bloody great movie.
But it's handy, isn't it? God, Teflon. I mean, it gives you cancer. You're going to die young.
Yeah.
You have Alzheimer's.
You save on oil, though, don't you, Mike? Because you don't need the oil, the natural oils of the meat.
That's right.
But anyway, I take your point.
And then also sort of stainless steel bolts, pots. I just sort of think hand wash some of those things.
Okay.
Don't be so lazy. But she'll just, I open it up and it's just, it's rammed with all those sorts of things where it could have taken, five minutes just to use it. The sink and do it by hand.
Yeah.
So that was a comment. And she said, look, don't you talk to me about what I put in there. We've had a tough time with the kid. She's been sick, got no sleep.
Yeah.
This is how it is. So, I know exactly what Davo's talking about here, mate. You're immediately verbally abused.
Yes.
And, the fact that you're saying, is there a way I can get her to change her ways? I mean, you've been married for 15 years, mate. You know damn well there's no way you're going to get her to change her ways.
No.
The only person that changes their ways in a relationship is the man.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I'll let you. I'll let you own that one.
Okay.
But look, I can relate too.
Mm. You got a dishwasher?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, nice.
In actual fact, we've just been given it's not a new dishwasher. It's my wife's father's old dishwasher, which was a little bit more upmarket than the dishwasher we had.
Aren't you a bit old to be getting shit off? Because you were talking the other week about, he still pays for your meals when you go out and now you're taking dishwashers off him. Does he give you his old fucking T-shirts?
Well, otherwise he was just going to chuck it out, mate. You know what I mean? My issue that I have with dishwashing is when they overstack.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you've got too much shit in there.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got plates on top of plates.
Yeah.
And you're going, how's that supposed to be clean? If where's the gush of water going to go if that one's over that one?
Exactly.
And that's my big issue. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not a fan of the dishwasher.
Right.
I'm old school.
Right.
I quite enjoy washing dishes myself.
Mm.
Nice sudsy hot water.
Yeah.
My kitchen gloves on and getting it nice and clean.
You wear the gloves, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get, because I don't know, that dishwasher really, liquid really ruins the hand, the skin on the hands.
Yeah, right.
Really wears it down. Great tip, though, in terms of dishwasher. Lee Hart actually told me this many years ago, in terms of getting as much in there as you can. With all your mugs and your cups, just smash the handles off them.
Oh.
You know, so that way you can fit so many more things in there.
No, that's good.
But, you know, generally speaking, and then you've got the conundrum, too, of teaspoons falling underneath and, you know, and getting jammed and all that sort of stuff.
And when you've got a full bottom tray,
yes,
full of plates, full of the little smaller plates that you always seem to have, and you've got to pull the drawer out,
yes,
reach around in there, fish it out, and then, of course, it falls off its slider, so now you're trying to put it back in.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, there can be some aggression there.
Can I ask you this? In terms of when your dishes come out of the dishwasher, how satisfied are you with the quality of the clean?
Well, I tell you what, if it's me that's stacking it, I'm 100% satisfied. Because, and I'll tell you why.
Because you have the space.
You simply must rinse
before
you put it in. Now, people that think that, you know, little gnomes jump out of the pipe in there and start scrubbing all your dishes, they don't. You've got to get rid of the excess food scraps before it goes in. It's got to look to the eye clean.
Yes.
Or at least avoid of those scraps, and then it will come out sparkling. But this is another argument. You know, the amount of times that, you know, I go in there and start pulling things out, and you've got a knife that's still got, like, Marmite on it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get Marmite off in a dishwasher. You need to get your brush out and scrub that off and then load the dishwasher.
Good call, mate, because you've got to pre-rinse. You know, like my daughter has a habit of, you know, she'll have a Milo and she'll
put it out in the sun for 3 hours to bake it off.
Well, that's right, exactly. Yeah. It'll be just sitting beside her bed or something for, you know, a month. And then she'll put that in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just absolutely caked on, baked on. That's not going to get clean, right?
No.
You know, and I say to her, you've got to, particularly in this situation, you've actually got to boil some water.
Yes.
And actually soak it for a while because you can't even pre-rinse it.
No.
So, you know, if you're expecting to just chuck in all your filthy, you know, you've been frying something or whatever you've had a smoothies are terrible.
They are. Immediately put them under the water as soon as you're finished.
Yes.
You know, you can't leave it out all day. The kids' porridge in the bowls is another one that just sticks there for all eternity and takes bloody hard. You're just creating more work for yourself, you know?
For sure.
So, you know, as far as Davo goes here, and he's got a wife that refuses to do it, I mean, what's the approach, Jace? I mean, essentially what's going to have to happen here is that he's either going to have to suck it up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually got a lose-lose situation here because if he asks her to stack it correctly, she has a go at him. And if he restacks it, she has a go at him.
Yeah.
So what does he do?
Yeah, and the problem for him, of course, is that because he's in the right.
Mm. Well, that's, you know, an even worse place to be in the right.
It is, and because he's in the right, you know, his only recourse really is to accept that they're going to have really unclean dishes at the end of it because she's not stacking it correctly.
Well,
you know, but I would just say to, you know, maybe the division of duties.
Yeah.
Hey, darling, my
already,
love.
Already, I've put myself into the position of his wife, and already I hate your guts.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? What are you going to say to me? Yeah, why are you talking down to me like that? You know, you're condescending to me.
Oh, I was just going to say.
No, go ahead, babe.
You
go ahead.
In terms of.
Yeah. Just about the dishwasher, is it?
No, I was going to say, let me get that for you.
Oh. Why? Well, you don't think I can empty a dishwasher?
Well, no, I certainly do. You're more than capable. I just thought you just relax and carry on watching Sister Wives.
Yeah, I love that show.
Do you like that one too, do you?
It's got all these women's points of view in it.
God.
Yeah, good, eh?
My wife loves that show.
Is that actually a show?
Yeah, Sister Wives. Yeah.
I thought you were being as sexist as you possibly could be.
No, not at all. It's about what are they called? The husband with five wives?
Oh, a polygamist.
Polygamist, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Sister Wives?
No, was one called The Big Something or Other, which had Jeff Daniels in it or something. He was a polygamist too. I'll get onto that. Sister's Wives, eh?
Sister Wives.
Sister Wives.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's five sisters who are all this guy's wives.
Well, no, they're not related at all.
Oh,
but
that's good.
They consider
except by
them,
marriage.
Except by marriage. Well, no, but yeah, it's very complicated, Mike.
Well, it sounds
as you can imagine, that they consider themselves sisters,
right?
Even though they're all
wives.
His wife. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
But it is difficult, isn't it? Because you know you're wanting it to be done properly.
Yeah.
And she's basically he's saying that she doesn't do it properly, and
yeah.
so they're not going to be washed properly. What do you do?
Well, you think
without,
it would be
without ending up in divorce
in a normal, you know, in a relationship, you should be able to have this conversation
yeah.
quite earnestly and simply,
yeah.
and you should be able to solve it fairly easily. And you know, I would be able to solve this in my relationship quite easily, as I'm sure you would be able to. You know,
sure.
We're both married, great women, but you know, maybe Davo hasn't.
Oh, what because you're saying? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because there are a lot of duds out there, both male and female, and it's possible, Davo, that you've just got yourself a dud. You know better than us.
Sure.
Because you've been married for 15 years, but I guess you've got kids now, so you're in it. But I think that probably the way that I would play it is, I guess some people would call it passive-aggressive, but you don't know, what I hate is when I go to the cupboard and we've made a meal, and I go in there and I get out a plate to put the dinner on, and it's got all the hard food on there.
Yeah.
So not only has it not been cleaned properly, but it's been put away dirty.
Yes.
And then it comes out and it's got filth on it. I don't like that.
No.
And I don't imagine Davo's wife would like that either.
No.
So I would just leave it. Because what's happening is Davo's unpacking the dishwasher, seeing that they're dirty, and cleaning them and putting them away. So from his wife's point of view, she's thinking, well, when I go to use them, they're clean. Well, what about if they weren't clean?
Right.
What about if they were dirty? So I just start putting them away filthy.
Yeah.
And she can start going, why are all these dishes filthy?
Yeah.
Well, because you're a pig.
So you're basically, you know, making her deal with her own...
filth.
Filth, yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite nice.
You know? Because there's no point going... And this is the same with kids. There's no point going around cleaning up after them and solving all their problems. They're never going to learn.
No.
You know, so she needs to understand that as a result of packing the dishwasher poorly, you then have filthy dishes to eat off. And how embarrassing, actually, I'll tell you what, have a dinner party. Get over her boss and her boss's wife and all these people that really matter to her and just come out and put filthy dishes on the table.
Yeah, you know, plates smeared with rock hard Marmite.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Or, you know, would you like a cup of tea? Here's one that's filled with, you know, old mold and Milo residue.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, nice.
You know, wine glasses covered in, you know, suntan lotion and lipstick and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no,
would you like
I
a glass of wine? No, not really.
I think that's great advice, Mike.
You know, what you want to do is you want to embarrass your wife in front of the people that really matter to her.
Yes.
You know?
And that way she'll be forced to acknowledge what's going on and change your ways.
That's right. And she'll say, and this is what you're after, Davo, you were right.
Yes.
Those are the coveted words. Like, people think, you know, they talk about the three little words, you know, in your relationship, and they say, it's I love you. But
yeah.
it's not.
Mm.
It's you were right.
Yeah.
It's very easy to say I love you.
Well, I've been married 24, getting on 25 years, Mike. Still yet to hear those words.
Yeah. You were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I don't long for them every day.
Mm.
I've just never heard them.
Mm.
I love you all the time.
Yeah. I love you means nothing.
Yeah. You were right.
Mm.
Not a once.
No, no, no.
Not a once.
No.
You see, and I'm a big enough man, and I've learnt this through experience, to say you were right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I say it even when you were wrong.
Yes, exactly.
In fact, most of the time I say you were right.
You think she was wrong. Well, you know, I like to try and set an example in that sense.
Sure.
Hey, I was wrong, you were right.
Yeah.
And then I wait for the reciprocal, oh, well, no, look, I think you were right too, but no.
No, no.
No, 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 it's just, yes, well, I know, that's what I was telling you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. You don't have to tell me.
You see, I wouldn't mind so much saying you were right if she went, hey, thank you for that. I really appreciate you acknowledging that.
Yes.
But instead she says, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
like,
and
it's like it doesn't even matter to her.
Could you at least maybe acknowledged, hey, I appreciate you saying that you're right.
It's actually...
Given that you've never said it to me in 24 years.
You know, surely you acknowledge that it's difficult to say you were right, given the fact that you have never said you were right.
You were right, yes. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
But no.
But no, I think basically what you're saying is that you need her to be embarrassed by her own filth, and thus she might come to her own conclusion, because ultimately this is how it has to happen. She has to come to that conclusion.
That's right. You have to guide her to that conclusion if
yes,
you can.
But she ultimately has to make that choice.
That's right. You know, you just need to shut. You know, a lot of change comes from shame.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it? So, and this feels like a shameable sort of offence within the relationship. So give that a go, Davo. I reckon you're going to get great results.
Absolutely, mate. Now, I believe we've got another bit of relationship chat. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, we do, mate. It's a goodie. Afternoon, Jason, Mike. I've been in a relationship since early January, and 4-odd weeks later, the misso has found out she will be moving to Auckland for a new job. She wants to run it long distance, but is it too much of a nuisance? Should I consider moving with her to Auckland? Or write it out, and if she moves, enjoy that it happened at all? We'll update you guys down the road, but cheers, fellas, in the meantime. And that's anonymous over the Instagram. He didn't want that person... You know, that misses to know, because I think she listens as well.
So. Right, okay. So they've been in a relationship for a month,
yeah,
about 4 weeks, and she's buggering off to Auckland,
yeah,
and he's asking the question, should I go with her?
Or should I go long, or should we try long distance?
Long distance.
Have you done a long distance relationship before, Jace?
No.
No.
Yourself?
I think I tried, no.
I can't be asked really. With that.
No, well, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. Well... I mean, the nice thing is sometimes if you're in a long-distance relationship and you're in the wrong, you don't have to say you were right.
You know, what you can do is you can say, you know, oh, this long-distance relationship, this is never going to work. And she goes, oh, we should try it. And then when it doesn't work, you can hope that she goes...
You were right. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
This is a good opportunity to see if you can, even if you're not into the idea at all, see if you can get a you were right out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just as a sort of an experiment.
Anonymous, well, it depends what Anonymous does. Mm. I mean, one can presume, can one not, that he's in employment in this area?
Mm-hmm.
Does he like his job? Is it shithouse?
Yeah.
How much does he like this girl? All of these things need to be factored into whether or not he wants to make the commitment into him is she?
Yeah. Well, the fact that he's considering it means that he's really into it. But also he's in the first 4 weeks of a relationship.
Yeah.
And everybody's great in the first 4 weeks.
The pink cloud.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's great in the first 4 weeks. That's easy.
You shag like crazy in those first 4 weeks, don't you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of rooting going on.
Yeah. 2-3 times a week. I mean, those are the days.
Woo!
Holy helmet.
Yeah.
Hey?
Exactly.
Those days are over.
Well over.
So I get the feeling he's young. He feels mid-20s-ish.
Yeah.
Because,
I agree with that.
You know, if this was, you know, sort of me in my even 30s or mid-30s, as soon as it came up, it was, oh, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Unless it is somebody really good, because my wife, when we met, she was heading to the UK.
Right.
She paid for all her visas, and she was leaving in about a month. And she was going to go over and work in the UK, and she just kept on putting it off. Never went.
Mm. I know, because you were telling me about that, how she's been saying to you over the last 5 years, how you ruined her dreams.
Yeah.
And you've had to deal with that side of...
Yeah.
That, you know, that she had a huge career over there, and that she had massive prospects. She'd be earning triple figures right now. And
she, you know, she had great contacts over there as well. She would have met some really good... Whenever I'd introduce her to people, and this is honestly, people would do a double take or laugh and then see that I was serious. And then, like, why is she with you?
Yeah.
And, you know... I don't really have an answer for that.
Yes.
But it was because I'd lied to her. You know, I sort of made myself out to be better than what I was.
Sure.
And then, of course, you know, trapped her with a kid.
Yeah.
You know, because I said I was, you know, sterile.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Okay.
That was a little trick I played.
Yes.
And so next thing you know, because she's a good woman, you know, she's got a kid, she's going to try and make it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's sad for her that she's missed out on all her dreams.
Yeah,
but mine have improved because I never thought I'd be with someone as great as my wife.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So that sort of evens out in the end, I think.
Sure,
you know, for her terrible, for me, God, beyond my wildest dreams.
Yeah,
so I guess in the end, in a marriage, it all balances out.
Oh well, look, you know, I'm in a very similar situation. I mean, my wife had reached that point in her life where she just felt like, you know, she just had to settle with me.
Sure.
I don't think that there was any real appeal there for her.
No.
I mean, she was beautiful, and she is beautiful. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I couldn't see what she saw in me.
Mm. No, everyone said that.
But yeah, yeah, well, that's right.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get the same reaction. This is my partner. And they'd go, really?
Yeah.
Yes. And
hurts, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I was stoked though, mate. You know, I was stoked. And similarly, actually,
she's too good for you. And you're like,
yeah, totally. She is, mate. Yeah.
Well, don't say that in front of her.
Yeah, yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah.
And she was actually in a very similar situation. She was going overseas too. That was her plan. And
knocked her up.
Yeah, she got pregnant.
To you as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and funnily enough, I said I was sterile. So, you know, it was a good play by me. You know, bloody great play by me.
Yeah.
We're still together 24 years later.
That's right. And she's miserable too. I mean, your wife and my wife have really bonded over
that. Yeah, I think so.
They're birds of a feather when it comes to that. Both trapped in miserable relationships by men that they never loved.
Yeah, manipulative bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who talk about the relationships on a super successful podcast.
Yeah. You know? That they don't earn any money for.
No, but gets them out of the house and away from doing the, and away from stacking the dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly.
look, mate, I mean, another thing that I've sort of edited out of this, but I'll put it back in there, is that, you know, they live in Christchurch.
Okay.
Okay, so I would just say, you know, depending on what your work is and what your prospects are down there, just get out of Christchurch, mate. Have a crack at Auckland. If you don't like it, you can always move back. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You know, she might have some really hot workmates.
You never know.
So it might not work out with her, but there might be somebody else in the building that you're keen on. Or flip side of that is she's probably going to meet someone better than you at her work as well. So you should plan for that. She's not going to stay with you.
And can I just make the point too? You know, Auckland gets a lot of shit thrown its way, mate. Auckland's a great city.
It is a great city.
It's a really, really good city. Great opportunities in Auckland. Great climate.
Mm-hmm.
Great locations all around the place. Great beaches. Totally. All of that stuff, mate. So I'm with Mike. What I would do is I'd just say, yep, good-o.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move and, and just go with it, mate. Because as you say, I think he's obviously still quite youngish.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose?
Exactly.
Apart from your dignity and your job.
That's right. And your relationship.
I reckon go for it.
Absolutely, 100%. And don't bother with the long-distance stuff. It doesn't work. There's something about the vibe of your email. You sound like a real clingy prick.
Yeah.
So it's not going to last, but it'll give you an opportunity to work through a relationship where you get to iron out some of that clinginess, which it feels like you've got going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
just
use this as a test run for a relationship down the road that's actually going to be successful.
Good call, mate. Right now, though, it's time for Sports Chat with Jason Mike.
He's been doing it all day, Rev.
It's over.
Run,
kick. Sports Chat with Jason Mike.
Hello, guys. I'm a 24-year-old male, and I'm spending summer with my girlfriend's family for the first time this year. We just played backyard cricket together for the first time, and throughout the match, I was constantly attacked for the way I played. Mm. After a few overs of bowling a decent length, they wouldn't let me bowl again as I was too fast and too mean. They also called me a poor sport after I scored 26 off an over of pies bowled by my girlfriend's 11-year-old brother. It was very painful because when I was playing growing up in India, we never played this, in inverted commas, friendly way. I'm wondering if I should change to make them happy or stay true to my natural game. Cheers, fellas. Gavin. Great question, mate.
Gavin from Mumbai.
Mumbai.
It's a real Indian name, isn't it, Gavin? That is a great question. And there's, again, you know, they've always got a few layers at play, don't they?
Indeed.
You know, first of all, you know, sort of the question is, how competitive should I be in a game of backyard cricket that has no consequence, really. Who's winning or losing, it really is about participation.
And the family bonding and enjoying each other's company.
It's Christmas time. Let's get out there and have some fun. If you've got somebody screaming in, bouncing a child, then it sort of takes a bit of the joy out of it. Also, you're not even established in this family. This is your first time spending Christmas with your girlfriend's family, and so they're getting to meet you and enjoy your company on a level I'm assuming you haven't previously enjoyed. There'll be new depths being plumbed in conversations, and they're getting to see another layer of your personality.
Well, that's right, and there's the whole first impression thing too. Yeah. This is a very new relationship. This period of time is crucial in terms of how the mum and dad and the rest of the family view you. Because I'll tell you this for free, mate, the mum and dad don't like you. You're in hell right there and then.
There's a lot of chat that goes on.
Can I just say, because my wife's parents don't like me at all.
Your wife doesn't like you.
My wife doesn't like me, but my wife's parents don't like me. And they were of the attitude, you're way too good for this loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I've been constantly fighting that battle.
Yeah.
You know, and then they
do you fight it though?
Well, then they get all shitty with me because when they take us out to a meal, I get them to pay for it. You know what I'm like?
And you're like, God,
I can't win here.
And you're saying that you're around the in-laws' place and you're like, geez, about time you got a new dishwasher, isn't it, Gav?
Well, yeah.
You know? And then, what are you doing with that old dishwasher?
I'll take that off your hands. Listen, Gav, I can relate. Mm. Cricket's a serious business.
Well.
You know what I mean? And, you know, you're obviously a naturally competitive sort of dude and you like to win.
And sounds gifted.
Sounds like you were bowling beautifully, mate. And if someone's bowling your pies, take them over the boundary, I say, into the surf.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe there is a flip side to that where they go, boy, this kid's a go-getter.
Sure.
Boy, this kid's determined.
Yeah.
He's a winner.
He applies himself,
you know what I mean? So there might be the other balance of that, or they might just think you're a complete asshole.
Yeah, because it reads like you're a fuckwit.
Yeah, let me be very clear. It reads to me like you're a total fuckwit.
Mm.
And I can almost visualise it, Mike. You know, the beach, a little kid there with his bat holding it all wrong and him coming in and firing in, you know, 130K at the poor little fella, smacking him on the shins and in the ribs.
Yeah, in my eyes, in my mind's eye, I sort of envisage, you know, kid walking over, it's his turn to bat, he picks up the bat, he's sort of holding it by the bat itself rather than the handle.
Yeah, smiling.
You know, dad's at mid on, he's like, no, Billy, hold it by the handle, mate. The handle, and you're like, and from your point of view, Gavin, you've seen him, he's standing at the crease. As far as you're concerned, you're standing at the crease, mate, you're good to go.
You're game.
And so you've steamed in, and before he knows what's what, he's got one between the eyes.
Yes.
Dad's
running over from mid-off, and hey, you're all right, boy, you're all right, give it a rub.
That's right.
Give it a rub.
What are you doing, you dickhead? Hey. If he doesn't want to face the fast stuff, he shouldn't have stepped on the pitch.
Yeah.
And there's some truth in that.
Yeah, there is. And that's what I mean. It's a two-edged sword, isn't it?
Mm.
And then the fact that, you know, he's probably dismissed this kid with the next ball, so he didn't really get to have a bat.
No.
And then this kid has bowled to him and he smacked 24 off his over, thus destroying any confidence he might have in ever playing cricket again.
Yeah, no
making
interest.
It a horrendous experience for the poor young fella.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can see how they might think you're an arsehole.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see how they'd see you any other way.
Than an arsehole. Yeah.
You know, and how does your girlfriend feel about you when
just
you're
about
behaving
to ask
like that? Were you finding that she was sort of shut off from your charms for the remainder of the holiday? I would have thought so.
Yeah.
If she doesn't like her little brother.
Yeah.
You know, she could have been going, fucking put one in short, you know. Chin music.
Can I just say, though, as a general rule, older sisters love their little brothers. They're very protective of their little brothers.
Sure.
So it probably, I mean, I'm guessing and visualising and thinking here that Gavin, you know, she was mortified by what you did, horrified probably, and was thinking to herself, how the hell did I end up with this asshole?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also that, you know, you say here that you were, throughout the match, you were constantly attacked for the way you played.
Yes.
Which means if you're constantly being attacked, at no time did you think, time and place for this, maybe.
Maybe I'll back off a bit.
Yeah. You just went hard. And, you know, I do admire it that you do want to win and win at all costs. But obviously, when you're doing that in this situation, there's going to be a sacrifice. Should you change to make them happy or stay true to your natural game? Well, it depends whether you want to be in the relationship or not.
Yeah.
So the question is not, you know, do I change? It's do you love your girlfriend?
Yes.
And it sounds like you don't.
Well, and the choice is, do I want to be a great cricketer or single?
Exactly. Now, the thing about it is, if you're a great cricketer, the chicks are going to come, man.
Well, especially if you're on the 2020 circuit.
Yeah, mate.
Mate, that's good money.
Oh, the money pours. You go to the IPL. They'll be hanging off you.
You go to the IPL, you know, you're earning $620 US for, you know, 6 weeks work.
Yeah.
Sweet as, mate.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I bet this, you know, this girlfriend here, she's going to be so far in there, your old rear view mirror, mate, you won't even remember her name.
No, exactly.
You know,
and
so,
she'll be looking at you probably going, God, what the hell was I thinking?
Exactly.
And he
right.
showed me how good he was too when we were playing with my family.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's the other thing. You know, she shouldn't be trying to change you, mate. Who does she think she is trying to change you, trying to tame you, Gavin?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're a wild man.
Yeah, he's obviously a tear-away quickie, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, taking 26 off and over, I mean, when I play backyard cricket, I don't even think I keep score. I'm just playing for time.
Yeah, see, this is the other thing. I can see him keeping score.
Yeah.
You know, and after six, you know, I can see him doing that.
Yeah, a bit of the old six, go and get it.
And then, you know, at the end of the whole game, at the end of the match, he's like, do you guys realise I bowled four overs and got 5 for 2?
Yeah.
I mean, they're brilliant figures.
Yeah, beat it, Billy. I just took 26 off you there. Go and have a think about it on the boundary,
you
dickhead.
You loser. Exactly.
And to be fair, Billy is a loser.
Yeah, well, he is. But, you know, to be fair to Billy, by all accounts, it sounds like he's only 10 or 11. He's never played the game.
Yeah.
So... Oh, it's a toughie.
Well, I mean, I think we've given the answer there. I mean, it sounds like you're a great cricketer. If she's not going to be supportive of your chosen career, then you need to ditch her, man.
Yeah.
She is an anchor. She is a weight on you and your dreams. So if she's putting family in front of your need to compete, then do you really want to be with somebody like that?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, great stuff, Gavin. All the best, mate. And who knows, mate? We may see Gavin playing for the Black Caps one day, and won't we feel good about that?
Is this Gavin Larson?
It could be.
Mm.
No, he was a dibbly dobbler.
Oh, he was.
He was just a little medium pacer.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. I tell you what, I've very much enjoyed it. Make sure you rate us. Give us a star rating. Get those comments flowing through. And if you do want any advice from Mike and I, please feel free to email us or message us on Insta.
Yeah, go on the Insta, and it's All Talk with Jason Mike. And also you can email us on alltalkwithjasonmike@gmail.com.
Great stuff.
Or if you see Jason in the street, just ask him.
Yeah, just ask
him. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, no, don't talk to Mike. God's sake, don't do that.
No.
Hey, you have a great day out there. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast, and we'll be back same time, same place next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.